Let's take it from Siman Taf, Reish Lamites. So we're done for the most part with the building of the sukkah, the halachas of the schach, and the halacha of the walls. So let's talk about the yeshiva sukkah. So we'll have shir tonight, not tomorrow night, and we'll pick up next week. I guess Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe even Thursday we'll do it, we'll see. So let's take it again, Siman Taf, Reish Lamites, Dine Yeshiva Sukkah. So we're going to go through the first two se'ifim here. They're both a bit long. And there's a lot of halach lemaisi here, so the mechaber begins saying as follows: Ketan mitzvah yeshivas basukkah. What exactly? How does one accomplish the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah? Shehei ochel v'shosu v'yashenu metayel. Person should eat and person should drink. He should sleep and he should even be metayel. He should even walk around in the sukkah. So the interesting discussion here that with respect to the din of walking in the sukkah. So there's a machlokus in the Rishonim, the quote here. That is the din of metayel basukkah, is that the same din as achila and shena, the inin of eating and sleeping, that one should not do this outside. A person wants to go for a stroll, so should he do a, you know, walk around in circles in his sukkah around the table? Or it's a very different level than eating and drinking. Eating and drinking, you don't have much of a choice. You have to do it in the sukkah. But being metayel, so there's an inin to be metayel in the sukkah, but if one wants to, they also have the option of doing a little walk around the block as well. No. You'll see the Mishnah Berurah says something he adds on as well as speaking. We'll get to that in just a moment. But Mitayel is like a teal, like taking a little stroll. So there's a Tosis where Yehuda Chassid in Brachos Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So he says a person does not violate the Isser if you walk outside. Even though I could have walked inside my sukkah, go for a little stroll. If I do this outside, there's no Isser involved. It's very different than eating and drinking. But there's a Baal Mor in the end of Psachim that says, seems to indicate that if a person does walk outside the sukkah, it's like eating and drinking outside the sukkah. There's a Nishmas Adam that says this same Indian that walking outside is mevatel amitzis asei every time you do this. So there's a very strong Indian to even, not just that you're being makayim a mitzvah through walking in your own sukkah, but if you walk outside your sukkah, there seems to be a bitel asei. So now Rav Chaim Kinevsky finds it hard to understand that doesn't mean that you're a chayav, that means you have to be in your sukkah all the time. It doesn't make any sense. People can't go out to do things. You can't go on a trip somewhere. So that's a bit extreme. So Rav Chaim says the person is home and he has the ability to hang out in the sukkah and the ability to just walk around the sukkah and he chooses to hang out inside his living room. So that's what would be considered, you know, so almost like a bitul asei when the sukkah is right there in front of you and you're just lounging on your own couch inside the house. But to go outside, to go on trips, or wherever else you're going, to go to the Beis Medrash, it's not a chiv all the time to have to be in the sukkah. Okay, so now let's look at the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Beis. The Mishnah Berurah says, "V'yashen u'metayel, a person should sleep, a person should walk in the sukkah. V'chein im yirta l'saper im chaveyor yisaper b'sukkah. A guest comes over, so you take him inside your sukkah and you hang out in the sukkah to speak. The sukkaso tzarech lios b'kiveso b'chol hashana." The sukkah has to be treated as if it's in his house all the time. So just like when a person comes over, you talk in your living room, so too you should talk with him in your sukkah. Ukemoshe Mesayim Mechaber, like the Shulchan Aruch concludes. Ulefisha Kedushas HaSukkah Gedol Maod, since there's so much Kedush in the sukkah, Roy Lemait Ba Bedivrei Chol Uledaber Ba Kim Kedusha V'Torah. A person should minimize the regular speech, mundane speech, and speak with the Kedusha in terms of Torah and other nice things. And certainly, this is the Chavetz Chaim speaking now. Shehei Zahir Miladaber Sham Lashon Hara Urechilus V'Shar Diburim Ha'asurim. And of course, to in general, to always be careful, but to be extra careful, don't forget this is a sukkah, don't speak such in Yanim. So there's an interesting discussion that what happens if a person has nothing to say? So should he just stay quiet? The Mishnah Berurah says you should be speaking Divrei Kedusha, Divrei Torah. So what if you have no Divrei Torah to say? So is it better to just stay quiet or is it better to engage in just a regular mundane speech? So there's a Matei Ephraim and the Prima Gadim says the same Inyan that it's better to speak than to just sit there being batel because people enjoy speaking. And to as part of Oneg Yomtiv and part of Oneg Chol HaMoed is to speak and to have conversations and to speak to family and speak to friends, even though it might not be having to do with Torah, speaking itself is something that people enjoy, and therefore it's encouraged instead of sitting there just sit quietly. It's said about the Chavetz Chaim was a big schmoozer. which was part of his greatest accomplishment. It's very easy to stay quiet, never speak, and not to speak Lashon Hara. But to speak the amount the Chavetz Chaim spoke, and yet still not speak Lashon Hara, and be so careful, so that's a tremendous mila of the Chavetz Chaim. So there's an Indian about speaking.
It's not just a question for Sukkot, it's a question for anything. Yeah,
certainly in general. But when it comes to Sukkot, so now we're in a Makom Kadosh, and maybe you shouldn't speak the Vechol here. And when you're in your house in general, so the Vechol is understandable, it's encouraged. But maybe in the Sukkah, where it's a Makom Kadosh, maybe you shouldn't speak the Vechol. Even then, the Vechol is certainly considered something that's special in its own Yom Tov. There is a Gemara that says you have to learn, it's also a mission of us, I think, that you have to learn from Tamid Chachamim, even Sichas Chulin, how they speak mundane speech. So we see that there is an Indian of Tamid Chacham is speaking mundane, and there's a way to speak mundane speech. There's some Indian to learn from that. So that's what the Matei Ephraim and Primer Gadim is encouraging here, better than to sit there quietly. Okay, let's go continue in the Shulchan Aruch now. The Shulchan Aruch writes that, there's one more thing I wanted to look at. This is an interesting halacha they bring down from the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, when it comes to certain things that you should keep and not keep in the sukkah, the Shulchan Aruch is about to say about certain dishes and pots you shouldn't leave in the Shulchan Aruch. Rather, you shouldn't leave in the sukkah. So, let's say shoes. Could a person takes his shoes off and leave the shoes in the sukkah? Is that something that's considered inappropriate for the Makom Kedusha of the sukkah? So, the Aruch HaShulchan says a person should not leave his shoes in the sukkah. If he takes them off, leave them inside. With the exception of the person's going to sleep and you want the shoes right next to you, so when you get up or you have slippers or whatever you're wearing to walk from the bed to inside the house or wherever you're going, then you can. But just to leave the shoes in the corner of the sukkah during the day, he thought would be inappropriate. So the Shulchan Aruch says, let's go back up top now. So a person is eating and drinking and sleeping and walking around in his sukkah. The Dar B'Sukkah Kol Shivas HaYamim, and he lives there for 7 full days. Bein B'Yom, Bein B'Laila, it's true during the daytime, it's true during the nighttime. Kederach Shudar B'Vesok B'Shar Yimos HaShana, just like he lives in his house the rest of the year. V'Chol Shiva Yomim Ose Adam Es Beisa Arai V'Esukaso Keva. And a person should make his house something that's more temporary, and a sukkah becomes his main living quarters. So then the Mechaber says further, Keita, how does a person recreate the situation of Keva versus Arai? Kalim Hanaim Umatzaus Hanaus Basukkah. All his special kalim, his utensils, his dishes, and his tablecloths, he should bring to the sukkah. And the Klishasiya Kigon Ashishos Vikosas Basukkah, his cups are brought to the sukkah. Ava Kli Achila, which is for the La'acher Achila. The Kli Achila, the food, the plates that's used to eat. Kigon Kideros Ukaros, pots and pans and plates. Chutz Basukkah have to be left outside the sukkah. So there is a squirrel living in the shul if you hear in the background. We had the sun there already. So there's it's been very active all day as well. Okay, that's the scratching here. Okay, so they're working on it. So a person shouldn't leave empty plates in the sukkah. A person shouldn't bring the pots that you cook inside the sukkah. It's supposed to be like a dining room, and you don't leave a dining room messy. So what happens at Shal Shudas now? It's Shabbos this year, Shabbos Chol Moed, and it's Shal Shudas now. So normally we don't clean up Shal Shudas, we leave it on the dining room table until after Shabbos is over, because otherwise it's a problem of Hachana, preparing for after Shabbos. You're trying to get something that you would normally do after Shabbos, you're doing it on Shabbos. So what about on Sukkot? Is it right to leave the Shal Shudas meal, the big mess on the table in the sukkah, until after Shabbos? So Rav Yashiv and Shmuel Kamenetsky Paskin, that it's mutter to remove the food and the Shal Shudas, because your concern is not to prepare for after Shabbos, the concern is to make it look nice for Sukkot, which is, by the way, a basis for others say, in general, you are allowed to clean up Shal Shudas if your wife finds it just uncomfortable and disgusting to leave the Shal Shudas table like that. There seems to be room to allow for that in general. I'm not posking that way, but if someone is so bothered by the mess, or if you have Shal Shudas really early, and now for 6 hours it's going to be staying out on your table, and you're having guests come in, and it's not nice for Shabbos, so then there is room to clean it up, because you're not cleaning it up to prepare for after Shabbos, you're cleaning up to make it look appropriate for Shabbos itself. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch writes further now that, where are we? Ha menorah basukkah, menorah has to be left inside the sukkah, so you could see. We spoke about the halachas of if it's going to be passing the schach or not, how far away it is. We said the menorah is the one exception where it should not be so close to the schach because it could cause a fire, but that's only true if you're using candles, if you're using electricity. That concern isn't there. So you leave the menorah in the sukkah, but im ha'isa sukkah katana, if it's a very small sukkah, so then manicha chutz la sukkah, we place the menorah outside the sukkah. So there's a machlokis in the poskim, the Magid of Rav and Taz argue if it's a small sukkah, which is not nogeah for any of us, but just in theory, if it's a small sukkah, why do you have to leave the menorah outside? Some say because there's more of a concern of it causing a fire. It's such a small cramped sukkah, and you have a fire there, so it might cause a fire on the sukkah. Others say no, because if it's exactly the size of the minimum shear of a sukkah, so now you're placing the menorah, it's going to detract from the shear, and you're not going to have a kosher sukkah. So there is a we won't go through that, but there's a discussion about where one should light the neros for sukkah. So when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov Sukkah, so Rav Yosher paskins, that person should light it in the sukkah because in general, the ideal place to have halakas neros is where the makom achila, where you're eating. So if that's impossible, let's say there's no space for it, so then a person should try to light it if there's a window from the house that you could see into the sukkah, so then that's the best place to light the candles inside the house. If that's not a possibility, so then a person could light it somewhere in the kitchen where the preparations are taking place, so it's somehow connected to the preparing of the food for the suda, or some other place that you might end up going to use that evening when you go inside the house to read, let's say, but you're supposed to get hana from the neros. So that's the hierarchy of the places to put it. Now, some have a custom, my in-laws have this, I don't know if they still do it, but I know when I initially had gotten married, their custom was to light the neros in the sukkah, and then to bring it inside the house. You had that also, yeah, growing up? So that was their custom. So what's the basis for such a custom? So who would move it? Firstly, either the husband would move it before he accepted upon himself Yantif, or rather on Shabbos. On Yantif, the woman herself can move it. On Shabbos, so then if the husband's home, so then she lights the candles, then he moves it inside. So what's the basis for this? So the Mishabura writes in Siman Reish Samech Gimel that one should not do this because you're not supposed to move the neros after they've been lit. You have to leave them, you're supposed to light them in the makom where they are staying. So if you want to do this, so then what you should really do is leave one candle in the sukkah and then you can remove the other candle. So if you have a whole candelabra so and you have light one candle that's going to stay on a small whatever you're using, one of those tea lights, leave that one in the sukkah, light the rest of the candelabra and then move it inside if you're concerned of a fire, if you're concerned someone might steal the silver. That's the eight if someone has such a minhag.
Can you light like one tea light or two tea lights in the sukkah and then light?
Yeah, that would work also.
Do you have to do that? Let's say you don't want to have like seven, a big candelabra in your sukkah.
Yeah, that would work also. It seemed that.
But do you have to, or can you get away with not like you know if you forget to light, you have to light let's say the next week.
Oh, how many?
I'm saying, let's say you're going to get to light out of five, six, or seven, depending on kids or whatever it is. Let's say, but you really two is sufficient. So is it fine to let's say two for Yantav, the two little tea lights in the sukkah, and you're fine, and then nothing in the house?
I'm right.
In the sukkah. You don't want to bring out. Big thing.
Off the top of my head, I don't know. The idea of lighting more than two candles is a minhag many took upon themselves. Now, that might be considered b'taras neder now. So when it comes to the halachas of taras neder, the Dogma of Revava writes in Hilchas Nedarim that if a person bakrai goes against a neder, it's not a violation of the neder. So I've given this example before. So for me, I don't carry in a string Erev because of a chumrah. So that for me has become a neder. So I can't. I don't carry outside when there's only a string Erev. But on an occasion, I need to. If I once went someplace, I needed to carry svarim to shul to speak. So that was bakrai. That was a happenstance. I didn't have a choice. In that case, I was able to carry because it was just a minhag, a chumrah mine. I recognize an erev with a string as a kasha erev, but there's a chumrah base in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah. So that's bakrai. But if you know that every single sukkah, once a year, you're going to be doing this, lighting two candles, I wonder. I don't know. I wonder, is that called akrai? So akrai once a year sounds like akrai, but it's like a set. It's akrai that's bekeva. It's every year the same time. So I don't know. If it's no gay, I'll bli neder look into it. Okay. So the Mechaber says further now. Im haisa sukkah, we did that already. Okay. Weiter. The Ramah adds, Va'al yaseh shum tashmish bazui basukkah kidei shalo yehei yihum mitzvos Bezuyos Olav. We shouldn't do any type of disgusting act, something that's disgraceful, playing ball in the sukkah. We shouldn't play, talk about playing cards and dice. There's a Prima Gadim I saw today that talks about, he quotes from some sefer that they played dice in the sukkah. And he said, I don't know why you can play dice in the sukkah. Number one is it's a tashish bizoy. Number two is it's usher to play dice in general during the year. So I'm not really sure what's going on here. So he was against that. That's just an example. So I don't know if kids playing games is considered tashris bizoy. I would imagine they're playing games, they're kids. To play Monopoly in the sukkah, I would imagine that would be fine. But I can't tell you for sure. So
that's what you would do in your dining room.
What?
No,
that's fine, but even though anything you do in the dining room we should do here, we have a limitation of if it's not the Davar Shebekedusha, so that's where that's you know, that threshold.
Should never be in the sukkah, though.
What?
In reality, none of us should really be in the sukkah.
Because you're not doing anything.
In reality, most of our conversations are going to be regular.
Well, Sichas Chulin, we said, is fine.
Realistically.
No, I'm playing with Sichas Chulin is fine. Tashmish Buzzway is something that's inappropriate, which, again, examples that the Mishnah Berurah.
You think Monopoly is like.
No, I don't think so. I'm just bringing the example that Prima Gadim spoke about playing dice. So he thought that was an example. So.
Now, practically for us and our children.
Yeah, I think it's okay. I would imagine it's okay to play, for the kids to play Monopoly or whatever other hot game is around these days.
Should we tell them that, you know, on sukkah, since you would normally, instead of going in the kitchen, you should really do it in the sukkah.
I would think so. Okay. So then the Mishnah Berurah writes, Sifkat and Tes, for what examples of Shum Tashmir's Bazui? He says, Kagon Shtif Askaros, to wash the plates, you shouldn't be doing, it's not really easy to wash plates in the sukkah, but that's just an example of something that's not really a bizayon, but that's the threshold we're dealing with here of washing dishes is something that shouldn't be done in the sukkah, but uvakosos leka kepeda. Washing out a cup of glass, there's no food, there's no dirt there really, just emptying it out and washing with water, that's something that's permitted to wash in the sukkah. Now there is a big discussion where a person should do netzias yadayim for hamotzi. So with regards to netzias yadayim in the sukkah, so Aruch HaShulchan writes that it's better to wash hands outside of the sukkah. He thought that was considered tashmir's bazui, do it outside. And Moshe Feinstein said the same thing as quoted by Tshuvas Rivos Ephraim, to wash hands outside. But Rav Chaim Kanievsky said that the Chazanish used to wash hands inside. So I don't know, I would imagine an interesting machlok is whether or not netzias yadayim is considered tashmir's bazui. You know, you're cleaning your hands, but at the same time it's preparing you to do a davar shebekedusha, saying hamotzi.
So,
if you're right.
Maybe the dirty water would be
an
issue.
It could be.
If you just wash in the water's going to be left on the floor in the sukkah, then maybe that's
right.
It's
possible. Yeah, it's possible. I don't know. It gets into another discussion, which we'll wait to probably next week, of being a hefsek from when you say kiddush to going inside, then washing your hands, and then coming outside. That's a big hefsek. So, what? You're saying beautiful. Okay.
Maybe wash before.
Do well, they're yakis? You probably wash before kiddush, anyways, don't you?
No.
You don't. You're not really yakis.
No.
I guess with pace, it can't be yakis, but.
The issue also with like the sukkahs in like the city, if they have it, the sukkahs downstairs, they have to wash it upstairs.
Right.
So it's an issue.
That's a big shaila. So I took a quick glance, but hopefully next week we'll get into more detail. That this is gonna, you know, if we don't get fat enough from the regular meals, it's suggested that maybe make kiddush. Have a cookie meal, a cake meal from there. So this way, you're kaveh suda with the kiddush. Then go inside and wash your hands, and then do hamotzi afterward. That way, it gets away the hefsek. So, but
you drink the whole kos.
Yeah, that's exactly. If everyone has there the kos revis of yain, that's also, you could be kaveh suda and revis of yain. That works. So we'll get to that hopefully next week. Some details how to avoid that hefsek, or you could do what the fagans do and have a washing sink in the sukkah. Okay. Okay, let's go weiter now in the Shulchan Aruch now, Siv Beis. The Shulchan Aruch writes that Ochlin v'shosin v'yishenim b'sukkah, a person eats, drinks, and sleeps in the sukkah, kol shiva bein bayom bein b'layla, daytime, nighttime, v'ein yishenim chutz l'sukkah, we don't sleep outside the sukkah at all, afilu shnas arai, even a nap outside will not be permitted. Look for a moment at the Ber Halacha, Filu Shnas Arai, Vafilu Meniach Rosha Bein Birka. The guy falls asleep sitting, you know, bent over between his knees. Devade lo asi li'eshtakeh b'sheina. No one could stay that long, sleeping for a long period of time. That's certainly only going to be minimum, you know, left to a minimum nap. Still, gam kein aser l'terutza derava dehu basa. You still cannot take a nap in any form, in any position outside the sukkah. So then the Mishabura writes, if you move over to the left to Sif Katan Yud Beis, are we into Achiyas Arai yet? Okay, that's Shein Asarai. So you can't take naps outside the sukkah. We'll speak of heterim in just a moment for those who need. So then the Mechaber writes, of Amutu Lecho, you're allowed to eat Achilas Arai Chutz Sukkah. You are allowed to eat snacks outside the sukkah. Now this is very, very important here for those who think they're Talmidei Chachamim or those who don't. If you look at the Ber Halacha, you're allowed to eat snacks outside the sukkah. We'll define a snack in just a moment. But afilu tamid chochem imrotze shelo lahachmir latzmo bekach rashai. A person who holds himself as a tamid chochem, he's allowed to not be machmir. He could be lenient and having snacks outside. V'lo havik kimisha ein medaktik b'mitzvos. He's not going to lose his title of being medaktik b'mitzvos. By eating outside, you see a tamid chochem, you can't start calling him, he's a whatever name you want to call him, he's still a tamid chochem and he's still medaktik b'mitzvos, even though you see him eating outside a sukkah, a snack. So how do you define a snack? So if you look at the Mechaber, he says, kama achil sarai. What qualifies as a snack? So kibetza mipas, if it's a kibetza of a pas, so that's considered a rai. And he writes further, umutu lishtos maim v'yayin, you could drink water, and you could drink wine, ulechel perish, you could eat fruit outside, v'afilu kava alayu, even if you're koveya suda with fruit, or with water, or with wine, according to the Mechaber, you're allowed to eat this all outside, chutz l'sukkah. Fine. So now, let's read a little bit further. Misha yachmer latzmo v'lo yishtech chutz l'sukkah, one who's machmer not to eat anything outside, afilu maim, even water, Hare Zemeshubach, that's very, very praiseworthy to try to avoid anything. But let's say a guy can't get to a sukkah. He's on a trip somewhere. It's a hot day. And he says, I've got a chumrah. I'm a tamid chacham. I'm a dakek b'mitzvos. I'm not drinking any water. And he starts to get very, very uncomfortable. And he still refuses. I want to be Hare Zemeshubach. I want to be makpun not to drink anything outside the sukkah. So it says the Chuvas Ola Shmuel, that person's called a hedyot, he's called an idiot, if you will, because it's not true, it's only true if you have the option, if there's a sukkah. If a guy's mitzar and a guy's betar schola, and he's getting ill because he's not drinking and getting dehydrated, that's called a hedyot if you don't drink water outside. There's a chiv to drink water if you're really not feeling well. Okay, so let's go through some interesting discussions here. There's a whole machlokas about whether wine, if you're kovei on wine, whether or not that's going to be betaras keva or not, whether that's have to eat it in the sukkah or not. So that's in the Mishabura Sifkat and Yud Gimel. I'm not going to go through it. But that's a debate again about drinking wine, whether a person's kovei on yayin, whether you have to eat in the sukkah. When there's a discussion when it comes to grape juice, though. Let's assume right now that we paskin, if you're koveya sudan yayin, you sit down with a bunch of friends to drink wine, you have to eat in the sukkah, but we say not to say a bracha because it's not clear that everyone holds that way. So you drink in the sukkah, but no bracha. So what's the halacha with grape juice? Is an Indian of grape juice, does that also require drinking it in the sukkah? So this is a big machlokas poskim, which connects to many other issues. Rav Yosha paskin that grape juice does not have the status of wine, and you are allowed to drink grape juice outside, just like one drinks water outside, as opposed to wine. But Rav Chaim Kineski felt that grape juice has the same status as wine, and just like one who's koveya on wine to drink inside the sukkah, so too one who's koveya on grape juice needs to drink inside the sukkah. So what happens, where do you make havdalah? So havdalah, drinking havdalah. So the Indian, we paskin that person is supposed to drink and make havdalah inside the sukkah. So now the big question becomes, what about at a bris milah? If it's a bris during sukkahs, so what happens, where do you drink? So the post can point out, if you're able to do the bris inside the sukkah, I've never been to a bris inside a sukkah, but if you're able to do it, and the mohel says it's not going to be dangerous in terms of the weather, the temperature, the elements, doing surgery outside is never healthy. Things from the schach could fall, and the makom amila could be very, very dangerous. So if the mohel ascertains that it's a very safe environment to do it, so that's the best place to do it. And this way you get around the shaila of having to drink the wine outside the sukkah. But if the bris milah is taking place in a shul, not inside a sukkah, so then the eitzah is that Rav Shlomo Zalman paskins that you are allowed to, of course, drink the wine outside, But you should be machmir and try to drink only a little bit. That's all we have to do anyways. When it comes to kosher bracha, if you're not being kaveh suda, all you have to really drink is just a tiny sip. There's no in and of gulping anything down. We find this true when it comes under the chuppah. Under the chuppah, the chasan kala take a tiny sip after the guffin. And this is also true at a bris milah. The one saying the bracha takes a tiny sip, and that's sufficient to for the borei pro guffin. So that's so too when it comes to bris milah on sukkahs. Outside the sukkah, you could take a little sip, and that's sufficient.
So would you call it first? They said you should have the bris should be in the sukkah?
The yashiv encouraged one, if it's, again, healthy for the child, and it's capable, the weather, and there's no schach, that's ideal. But I could certainly understand why one would not want to do it in the sukkah. It doesn't seem the best place for a surgery. But again, yeah, it depends who the parents are, it depends who the mole is, it depends on the weather conditions. Okay, let's now finish off with the inyan of sleeping in the sukkah. So the Shulchan Aruch continues and says, "V'tavshil ha'asoi mechameshes aminim im kavei alav chashiv keva v'tzarech sukkah." So we didn't spend so much time. There's a big inyan we probably should have, and maybe we'll do this next week about eating mezonos inside the sukkah and when to say leishe basukkah. But basically, the klal is anything that's a mezonos requires a sukkah and requires a leishev as well. But again, I think maybe next week we'll get more involved in that discussion. Fine. So let's go quickly through the last piece in the Rama about sleeping in the sukkah. So Rama writes, "Mashino again, lakil achshav b'sheina sheini sheinim b'sukkah." Nowadays, that people are not makbid to sleep in the sukkah. Rak hamedaktik mitzvos. Only those are medaktik mitzvos. So yesh omrim mishum tina. That some suggest because it's very, very cold, and that was true certainly in Europe where the Rama was living. That was very, very cold. So that's the heter not to sleep in the sukkah. The yesh tzar lishum b'makomos hakarim. It's very, very uncomfortable to sleep in cold places. The linear says the Rama mishum de mitzvah sukkah ishu veso ishu ishto kederach shudar kashana. So the mitzvah sukkah is to whatever you do normally during the year, you just transport everything to the sukkah. So that means you have to stay in the sukkah with your wife. In a place where you can't sleep in Mishto, you had a public sukkah, and your wife was uncomfortable sleeping outside in the sukkah, Shein lo mesukkah yuchadis, when it's not special just for you two, then one's pater. So that means anyone who's single in the room has to still sleep in the sukkah, according to the svara of the Rama. According to the first svara, it's too cold. Well, it's certainly not cold nowadays and when sukkah's time. In terms of the heter, because the ishu beso, ishu vishto, that's only true if one's married. But if one's not married, so then there is no such heter. Concludes the Rama, the tov lahachmir v'liyos sham im isha. The best thing is to make sure you have a sukkah that has room and comfort for your wife as well. Kimo shudar kol shana, just like he lives the rest of the year, im efshe liyos lo sukkah miuchadas, if he's really capable of having it. So there's a whole discussion about Shana Rishona here. So some suggest, Klosenberger suggests that there's a tour for Shana Rishona, because there's an Indian of being Mesameach Chasen Vekala. The Chasen is Mesameach his wife for the first year, a special Indian of Simcha during Shana Rishona. So he felt only during the first year is there Patur, only for Shana Rishona, but after that point, there would seem to be a Chiv to sleep in the Sukkah. And lastly, let's say a person has to sleep in the Sukkah by himself. So there's an Indian the Mishnah Berurah talks about in Simen Reish Lamites, that a person's not supposed to sleep in a room by himself. So we're not to makbid on a room, but in a house by themselves, we should try to be makbid. It's not, there's an Indian not to sleep home by yourself because of some lila, some type of demon that could, this is a Mishnah Berurah talking, have you, that some demon that's there that is dangerous for a person to sleep by themselves. So what about sleeping in a sukkah by yourself? Is that bichlal this same iser that the Mishnah Berurah refers to? And so the Gra is quoted in the Maaser Av that he thought that it's mutter to sleep in a sukkah b'yichidus because shomer mitzvah is lo yada davara. Person who does a mitzvah, he won't encounter any evil, so therefore he's going to be protected from this particular type of shape. Okay, we'll stop here. Mirta Shem will pick up next Monday night.